Fisher Body Historical Team Interview, Wednesday, November 16th, 2005. Lead interviewer, Marilyn Coulter. Interview taking place at UAW Local 602 Conference Room. Our interviewee today will be Miss Hattie Green. First, we will the other team members are?
Cheryl McQuaid.
Linda Johnson.
Doreen Howard.
Okay. Miss Green, can you please state and spell your name for us, please?
State and spell my name. Well, my name is Hattie L. Green. I spell it H-A-T-T-I-E, middle initial L, last name Green, G-R-E-E-N-E.
All right, thank you. What we're going to do is, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself? Now, are you married with children?
I am the mother of one child. I was married to a lovely man by the name of Clifford A. Green, but he's deceased now. He's no longer with me, except in my heart. Mm-hmm. And we were married almost 48 years. Mm-hmm. And our daughter, her name is Allison Renee Johnson. She lives in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And, of course, at the time now, she's wheelchair-bound. She has MS. And she have had that about 14 years. But she's still my baby, and I love her.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit about hiring in at Fisher Body. Can you tell us what date you hired in?
I was hired in, well, the date was April 15th, 1953.
Now, was this your first job?
No, it wasn't my first job. I had one job before that, which was working in a grocery store where they sold grocery, and one side was an ice cream side where they sold, you know, ice cream. And I was just all around in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, 1953, you hired in. What brought you into Fisher Body?
Definitely, it was more money. Better I could
do. Do you remember what you were making back then in 1953, what you hired in it?
You know, that's kind of hard to remember. It's something like about $1.45 or $1.49. Because mm-hmm. the men did make a little more than we did.
So, in 1953, you come into an automotive plant. What was that like? Can you tell us what that was like? Like, do you remember what it was like?
Oh, that...
The first day?
The first day. Well, it was okay, but it was really scummy, dirty, you know. It was because I worked in the paint department. That's where I was hired in. And I worked on the line, and it was the sealer line, and we used it. Black rubber dough, they call it, to seal the jobs. Because some of the other ladies worked here, of color, they didn't even want to walk across the line, you know. But it seemed like they put all the minorities mostly over on the sealer line.
And was that because it was Linda? Jeff?
Hattie, was it because people didn't want to cross the line because of the gummy stuff? They didn't want to get it on their shoes? Or?
Well, it could have been, and some of them just thought they was a little bit better than...
Too good to...
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
So minorities were put on lesser jobs, you think, because they would do the work and...
Well, all of them didn't do the work because mm-hmm. some of them quit.
Oh.
But I was one who did survive.
Cheryl?
Hattie, how was the sealer applied? I mean, was it something that you used your hands and applied it, or?
No, we didn't use our hand. We had a gun, but they call it a gun. It was a long thing. And you had to mash it, you know, to get the sealer out, because if you had to seal around the, wheel, you know, the part of the car, not the wheel itself, but you had to go right down that line, you know, where they were connected together, you know, and things like that. Go around the trunk lid, you had to raise that up and go all around that and seal in there. We had a lot of places, and then some places it was a what they call the rubber dough too. You'd use, you know, it's permigum or something. You'd use the fit, put over those holes and then put it on.
Oh, okay.
So you primarily sealed seams and plugged holes.
That's what we did.
Oh, okay. So in 1953, were there very many minorities?
No, to tell you the truth, I was probably about the third or fourth one that was hired in here then. That's when they did hire through all of us in here then.
So were you treated any differently?
Well, in some way they tried to be nice, but you could always see it on their face. At least I could, and tell the difference. Because it's something within me that I can always tell when something, you know. But the supervisors, they was kind of, some of them kind of snotty, and some of them wasn't.
Doreen?
Was it a male-female discrimination, or was it a minority as far as color issue?
Well, the male. The male, some of them would, you know, talk more. But they, I knew then where the discrimination was, because you could tell. At least I could. I was no dummy. Mm-hmm. I know. Even to this day, I can tell. Mm-hmm. Nobody don't have to tell me. I know. I have common sense. But, you know, but that's all right. I learned a little bit because, you know, if someone hate me here, well, how do they expect to get to heaven? You know, mm-hmm. We supposed to love one another, and color not supposed to have anything to do with it, because we are all God's children. And my blood, even though my skin is dark, but my blood is just as red as yours. And then some of those who thought that they were better, well, I'm sure that my blood was just as red. It was redder than theirs, because I don't do drugs and none of that stuff.
But as far as black males, was there black males in the area that you worked with, and were they discriminated against in the same way that the women were discriminated against?
Well, not totally, but they had to be on their P's and Q's, because it seemed like that we, being of color, we had to work just as hard, and we had to do our job, seems like, a little bit better than they did. They would get away with something, you know, where they would, you know, we have to have it just right, mm-hmm. You
so
know.
At times the discipline seemed a little bit different for you?
Well, yeah, I know. Of course, I did my job.
You just did your job.
I did my job. All I wanted them to do was just tell me what my job was and show me what they wanted did. And so I did my job. I never had any trouble except for fighting. I didn't fight. I didn't fight. I just really what I did. This guy I was working with, well, I was going to get a drink of water. So, of course, this was sometime later, you know. And I was going across the line to get some water. When I come back, he didn't hit me, but he went like that.
And that would be, he brushed towards you?
Yeah. But that's all he did, because I had picked up gun and I bust his heel open. I got a couple weeks off, but it was worth it.
And that surely changed the climate on how people treated right?
He became a good friend.
So, can you tell us, in working in the paint shop, did it require any special equipment, any special clothing or gloves or anything like that when you worked in the paint
shop? Well, we had gloves, but as far as clothes, you know, we all wore blue jeans or something like that, you know. But we didn't wear, at least I don't wear them now, shorts to work, things like that. Of course, the men's, you know, they wore, in the paint department, the men's, they wore, you know, jeans and stuff, and they worked on the wet sand, they call it.
Okay. All set.
Now what?
So now you didn't have any. So you didn't have to wear any special breathing products or anything like that when you were working.
No, we didn't. Then we. Then I was trying to think. I know we used to wear. We had to wear a lady. I don't think I wore them when I first went in there. Safety glasses, you know.
Mm-hmm. So now you're retired now, right, Miss Abby?
Yes, ma'am.
And what year did you retire?
1993.
And in 93, in that time period that you were in the paint, were you always in the paint department for your whole life?
No, I worked in the cushion room a few years. After, I believe it was a plant in, what was it, Grand Rapids? They had a fire that in or something. Something went wrong there. And some of the folks came to, I think, over here to fish about it, and then you know, folks was getting bumped off their jobs and things, and that's when a lot of those who, some of those who was walking around the line when we was in the sealer room, you know, some of them had to come there on the sealer line and work too, which it didn't make them very happy, but.
So, Miss Hattie, for people who will hear this and not know with it, can you please explain what bumping is?
Well, bumping, what we call bumping was if you was on a job and you get bumped off, say somebody come on that job that you's on, have more seniority than you do. But that's what we call bumping, you know. And then you would have a chance if it was somebody there that you could go bump them. But it didn't work that way all the time because supervisors, they was screwy too. Because I know I was laid off for a couple years, and I had the seniority to be in there. But they kept guys in there, you know, with less seniority than, you know, than we had.
So now, you just spoke about layoffs. Were you laid off very many times during your time?
Yeah, I was laid off, I don't know how many times, but it was quite a few times that I was laid off, and it so happened that, you know, if you were laid off longer than you'd worked there, well, you know, if they call you back, you would start not new. But it so happened that I was never laid off as long as I had worked there. So therefore, my seniority was there.
Yeah. So you said, now, you were laid off, but you primarily spent your time in the paint department. Now, do you remember how long you were in the cushion room?
Oh, gee, I was in there. I don't know, 3 or 4 years, I guess.
3 or 4 years. Or something like that. And the cushion room.
But yeah, that was a different angle. We made the, made the seats, you know, and we used to put the springs in them, you know, and also we put the cover, the leather over them, you know, put the springs in them. Then we had a pad. We had the hog ring down on it. Then after that, as you put the leather on it, and they fasten that up and send that on down the line somewhere to the next place.
So what's hog ring? What was hog ring?
Well, I call it a hog ring. You had a gun, staple gun, and it had just like a round earring. You know, you'd staple it down in there to hold that pad on there.
So, now, did you prefer the paint shop to the cushion room?
Well, the cushion room was cleaner. You didn't have all of that, not all of that fumes that you know, had over in paint, you know. But I guess I worked in it long enough, I got used to that, and so it didn't bother me, I guess.
So, in working in the paint department and working in the cushion room, and coming in post-war, how would you say women in general were treated towards the men?
Well, some of them was treated nice because, you know, only the strong survive, I think. Because it was a lot of separation and stuff, you know, and that kind of stuff. Supervisor, you know, you may like this one or that one. Of course, it didn't matter to me. I wasn't married when I went to work there.
So now, did your husband work in the plant?
Yes, he worked there. So I mean, every day we rode together most of the time. I had to work nights after our daughter was born. Let's see, we married in 53, and our daughter was born in 59. So we worked together then. And so when I had to go to NICE, I was laid off and I was called back. And that's when I went to the Cushion Room. And so I worked at NICE for quite some years. And that way I didn't have to have a babysitter. So when I decided it's time for me to go on days, I came back to the paint department and went on dates.
And you were able to hold days in paint?
Excuse me?
You were able to hold the day shift on paint?
Yeah, I was able to hold it. Mm-hmm. Of course, it wasn't days all the time. When I first went there, it was 3 weeks days and 3 weeks nights. We'd swing.
Oh.
That's the way we would do. We'd swing shift. You never got used to one shift.
So how long did they continue that process?
Oh, they could continue that for quite some time. You worked 3 weeks days and 3 weeks nights.
Oh, wow. Sure.
Hattie, you said that you hired in April of 53,
mm-hmm.
and you were married in 53.
Yes, I was hired in on the 15th of April, and I got married on the 26th day of June, 1953.
And did you meet your husband in the plant?
No, he was looking at me, he was trying to mess around, you know, how guys do. No, I didn't meet him in the plant. I was at this grocery store. He used to come over and buy ice cream and stuff. You know how men do.
And so he had already worked in the plant. And
yeah.
And then you came in and finally a relationship.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
Yes.
Doreen? You said that your daughter was born in what year?
1959.
How did that affect your working life? You said that you were on a swing shift at that time when your daughter was born. Were they still doing the 3 weeks on one shift, 3 weeks on the next?
I don't really remember that right
okay.
now.
Okay, that's okay.
But I don't know, but I know she's born in 59.
Okay.
At that time,
that's when I was born.
I was on days or something, because at that time when I came back to work, I would take my daughter to my aunt to keep her. We would at that time, we would take her there to keep her during the day. I don't remember when that change did take place, but I know it did.
But you said that your husband and yourself, you worked opposite shifts so that you could
have later.
Child care?
Yeah, I was working nights at one time, and he was working days. She done growed up a little bit then.
Was that mainly for child care in family, or was it seniority that you
no, I was
attend?
Just having to be on nights at that time when I was when that happened.
Okay.
Because let's see, she started to school in 65, I think it was. Because she started like September, and she'd have been five, you know, in like that November. And I stayed on nights. Didn't bother about it. I could have got on days before, but, you know, I didn't push it, you know, then. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, Miss Hattie, I'm just kind of going back to the paint shop, and because of the time you've been here, what were some of the biggest changes that you saw take place during your time working at Fisher Body?
Working at Fisher Body? Well, I know the paint shop, it changed a lot. Because, in working in the paint department, like I said, we wore blue jeans or whatever. That changed because in the women's, at that particular time, I don't think the women they worked in the paint, but, you know, they didn't spray the paint, you know, like paint the cars or something other. But then that changed. The women, they would have to go in the spray booth and spray cars, put on their coveralls and whatever. I never forget that Fern. She had to go there for a while, and she was sick. Of course, she happened to marry a supervisor later, though, but she was sick, but she had to go in there and spray paint, just like the men's. And that was something else. That was a no job for but no women, but they said equal rights, and so they put them in there. And it was tough, I think. They had to wear their hoods, a cap on their head, and, you know, all that stuff, and have their gloves, and the shoes get gummy, and all of that kind of stuff. So, but some of them made it.
So would you say that those particular jobs started happening like in the 70s and the 60s? Or when did women start having to do some of the same types of jobs that were traditionally done because of men prior to equal rights?
Well, all the time except in the paint, I think more or less they had jobs that, you know, I guess they figured wasn't for the women at first, but all the jobs, just like when I even was hired in, see, men was working, but that wasn't spraying, you know. Mm-hmm. But they was working right beside the women doing the same thing, you know, that we all was doing.
But some of the jobs, like spraying, women started doing them?
They started doing that later years.
Like in late 70s or so?
It could have been. I don't really know.
No, but that's fine. Doreen?
Do you think that was because it was a higher paying job? That did they receive more money for that job, and that's maybe why more men were in there and not the women? Or
well, that was just a man job to me, it looked like. But you know, when they got this equal rights and stuff, you know, they started that just like, you know, it used to be a time that you couldn't work over 40 hours, you know. But then that changed. You could work them as long as you wanted to. Because I know I had worked two or three Sundays, you know, 7 days a week. I used to be glad when 40 hours or 54 hours come, you know. Noah couldn't work anymore. They usually get men, you know, somebody who wanted to volunteer and work, come over and whatever, you know, they would do it.
So they had some days the whole line would work 7 days?
Well, no, not the whole line. That was later years when I was working, maybe I was working in repair or doing something other, you know, and the jobs be backed up, you know, long, and they'd be trying to get them out, you know. I know two or three Sundays I did work.
So, You towards your retirement years, you began to work in repair.
Well, yeah, I had worked in repair quite a few years before retirement. Yeah.
And was that something that was that one of the good things that happened when the equality and things came and women started getting repair type jobs?
Well, it was good for me because I was over on the sealer line there over there in the sealer. You know, this was a different sealer. This wasn't like when I first came there. But this was a different sealing stuff you did. And then when they got down to repair, then they had opened. I was a relief person in repair just before I retired, about a month or so before I retired. And then they screwed around and got somebody else up there, and then they sent me upstairs. But I was getting ready to retire anyway. It didn't matter. Mm-hmm.
So now you said you were a relief person. Can you tell me what a relief person does?
Well, a relief person, you have so many people to relieve. Maybe, I don't know, 6, 7, 8. And that means that whatever job they perform, you have to know that job. And you relieve the person. Say, okay, I'm going to relieve you. You come, I come there and do your job, and you'd have 10 or 12 minutes of whatever time was to go to the bathroom or whatever you're going to do. And then you come back, then I would go to the next person, whatever job they were doing. I would go do their job. And that's the way we did relief.
All right. Were there any other changes that you remember, like as far as breaks or anything that happened?
Well, we had a, coffee break, I guess is what you call it. We'd have a break. It wasn't too many minutes, but is it 6 minutes we would have? And they used to have wagons come down through there with rolls and things on it, and you buy that, you have to eat it in 6 minutes or something or other. I go back to the line. Yeah.
Do you have, sure?
Yeah, Hattie, you, what was a typical lunch like? Did you sit down right where you work? Did you bring a lunch? Did you go someplace to eat?
Well, they always had a cafeteria here. You could go to the cafeteria, or either you sit down. They had a break area. Yeah, you know, you could sit down and you could eat your lunch there, wherever you wanted to, if you wanted to go out. At first we had how many minutes? 30 minutes. Seemed like we had 30 minutes break, lunch. But then later we had, did we have 42 or what? I don't remember that.
So did you usually just go to the break room and sit down and have lunch with friends, or did you go to the cafeteria?
Yeah, sometimes I'd go to the cafeteria, and sometimes I'd just sit down because my better half was there having his lunch too. So
did you usually prepare lunch and bring it in?
Well, I used to bring my lunch most of the time. Sometime I like to bring mine because I didn't like all that they had, because I never heard of bean soup. I had some here. I really didn't. I never heard of bean soup.
So, Miss Hattie, that's what lunches were like. What were some of the types of things that went on in the paint, maybe during holiday times, maybe when somebody was sick? Did you guys ever have dinners and things like that?
Oh, we had some of the best dinners that you could ever have. When holiday come, we'd go around, we would plan what we're going to have, you know. And this person said they'll bring maybe baked beans. After I started baking beans, they always wanted me to bake beans. And we'd have chicken, we'd have ham, and you name it, all that good stuff. We'd have it, they'd bring it in. And sometime we would take up money, they'd give money, and someone would, you know, buy the ham or buy the chicken, and we'd bring it in here, and we have all everything that go with it. It was really, really nice. We had some of the biggest dinner. And when a person come to time for retirement, we really had some dinners. We'd have a big dinner there, and we would always take up an offering for that person. We'd go around, they'd put the money in, and sometime, well, they'd give them the money. I remember, I think, when I retired, they'd give them a little billfold and put the money in it. But it was nice. Those was the good old days. Everybody had gotten along good, you know. They realized that we all were the same. Mm-hmm. I guess they realized that at least they showed it. They didn't. So it was good. It was. I used to take up a lot of offering and things and get the dinner together. We didn't have to wait till no special day. Sometimes even on the weekend, you know. Like on Friday, we said, well, we're going to have a snack, something other. You know, we bring food in and spread it on the table and everything. Good days.
Did you develop any friendships during that time?
Well, I guess I did, but the only thing about it, I had friends. If they wasn't, they act like they was, because I spoke what I think. That's one thing about me. I speak what I think and they know. And, you know, I had saw so many times guys, you know, they would seem like they'd be, well, they seem like to be trying to get smart. You know, if you give them an inch, they'll take two. And I would see some of these guys, some of these women, there's kind of flipping girls. And these guys used to pat them, you know. And they did. They really did. Used to pat them and stuff. And so, but they don't bother me. I said, this belongs to Clifford A. and you touch not. And I would say, I cover the ground I'll stand on. You don't touch me. And I could tell if a guy, even if a guy, somebody would pass by me, and if they would kind of touch me, I could tell if it was intention or just being smart. You know, I could. But I didn't give them that inch because I didn't want them to be coming up to me for this and that. I had a husband a couple months after I went in there.
So, Miss Hattie, in saying that and knowing how times had changed, and because, you know, sexual harassment basically really was something of later years, did a lot of that go on with the women? Were a lot of people, women sexually harassed and things like that in the time?
Well, they might have hollered that, but I don't think they were. They was doing that theirself, and then if they get caught, they might would say it. But some of these women needed it, you know. And with all due respect, you supposed to carry yourself in a way that a man will respect you. And some of these women went in here with they would look bad if they had, when they got to where they could wear pants and stuff like, you know, I mean shorts, you know. They would wear them up so short, and then they have holes in the pants, and some of the boys, the men would have, you know, well, younger men, have holes in their pants, you know, and stuff like that. Well, they brought all of this on themselves. If you want respect, you got to show respect. Mm-hmm. And so they were just all hanging out, so what the guys going to do?
Mm-hmm. All right, I see that. So, we had talked about the one thing, and I know you had said one thing about being laid off, but one thing we didn't talk about, and you spoke a little bit about the wagons. But were you ever involved in any of the strikes?
I sure was.
Is there anything that you can tell us about those that you remember?
Well, the strike, and you know, they had we had strikes, and we had to picket, you know, so long. You know, we had a strike, and we had worked so long. You know, you stand at wherever they sign you to. You go out there and stand and. At times, they would come around with coffee and stuff like that, you know. And, but it was okay because we had our rights, you know. If you got to have to fight for what you want. So we were there standing up. Some of us kind of shivering a little sometime, but it was nice, though.
Do you remember how long you were out for 30 and out?
How long were we out?
When they took the strike for 30 and out?
You know, I don't remember. I really don't.
Being out long? Okay, that's fine. That's fine. So, Doreen?
You were here when the plant was called Fisher Body, and you were here through the name changes that occurred. What is your feelings about the name changes to the plant?
What's the name now?
Lansing Car Assembly.
Well, yeah. Fisher Body was a real proper name, you know. So, I always call it Fisher Body, just, you know, that's what it was to me, and I guess that's what it always be.
Can you remember one of your happiest moments in the plant?
One of my happiest moments when I got my check.
Okay. Can you remember what your check was when you retired? What you were bringing home when you retired versus when you first came in?
When I came in, it was very small. It was somewhere, probably, I don't know, $100. You know, you used to work all them hours. You know, I mean, work 40 hours, and you didn't get a lot of money, but it was a lot of money then. Mm-hmm. And you could do a lot with it.
So $100 versus several hundred dollars later.
Yeah.
What about your, do you have a worst job or a best job that you did?
What?
A best or worst job that you did in the plant?
The best job I did was relief on repair. Mm-hmm. That was me. The worst I did was sealer. I don't remember everything.
Now, did you? I know that you're a Christian woman and things like that. Did you participate in the Bible studies that took place in the plant?
Once in a while, I would go over and, you know.
And participate in where they at?
Well, I'd just go over and listen to them. I would read the scripture and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. and be talking about it.
And those are some of the things you did during break sometimes?
Yeah, in my later years.
Okay. So, the next thing is, I know that you were also union active. Mm-hmm. Did you ever hold a union office?
No.
Did you go to the union meetings?
Yes, I went to the union meetings. So I didn't go all the time, but I went to union meetings.
Mm-hmm. Occasionally. Were you involved in any of the committees or auxiliaries that were part of the union?
What?
Were you a member of any of the committees or auxiliaries for the union?
No, I was, no.
You never participated? Now, do you participate in any of the activities now?
Well, I do occasionally. Yeah, I'm retired now.
So, you participate in the retiree functions?
Yes.
And I know you're also part of the AARP, yes? Uh-huh. All right. And
I've taken those classes. I went over to this local. What's this local right down here from 652? 724.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, they was talking about community service and stuff and people's be abused and all that kind of stuff. And I went over there to see what it was all about. A lot of things goes on that you don't know nothing about. You could help somebody.
So, out of all the bargain benefits that we have, which ones do you appreciate that the union have got for you the best?
So what?
Out of all our bargain benefits, which ones do you appreciate the best?
Which one do I appreciate the best? Well, I can't say which one I appreciate the best, but as far as the since I've gotten old, the insurance, the retirement. But it's one thing I would say that the union, they missed their point. Now what I'm going to say, they bargain for everything else. I'm a person, I feel like, I'm just one person. I'm going to speak what I feel. I feel like that a person retires from here, whatever their pension is, that they should be able to get their pension then. And when they become old enough for Social Security, they should get their Social Security, and it shouldn't be no cut. Now that's where they missed the bullet. Because it so happened that when I retired, I never got the full pension. It wasn't something that I had planned. But the year that I retired, 1993, I just said when I go this year, I said, I'm going to retire. My husband tried to get me retired when he did. He retired about almost 7 years before I did. But I had to make my own mind up because I know it wouldn't be no coming back. But in the end, too, at that particular time when I retired, okay, I got my pension, but it was cut. I didn't know. I was 65 years old when I retired. So I never got the full pension. But I felt like if I didn't have it then, I won't get it. The Lord said that he would supply our every need. And he has supplied my need. And the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. So I just thank him and praise him for that.
So Miss Hattie.
Yes, ma'am.
40 years. You went through a lot of changes, a lot of name changes of the plant. Is there anything else that has left a big impact on you over your 40 years that you want to share with us? Just anything big?
Well, the only thing I can say, whatever you do, do your best. Do the best thing that you can do. And don't let nobody turn you around. And when the time comes for you two, you ladies, to retire, you be very sure. It's just like that song. Be very sure that your ankle hold. Be very sure that you's ready to retire. So I don't have any regrets whatsoever of my retirement.
And I was going to quit, but I have one other thing. 40 years. 40 years. Yes, and they always called Lansing the capital of quality. You've been through a lot of model changes, different vehicles. They called us a capital of quality. Mm-hmm. What would you attribute us being always number one or number two?
Well, you've worked hard. You worked hard and you try to put the jobs together. That's one thing. You put the jobs together. When I got my car, and I always look around at the, some people just look at the outside, but I know I worked on cars. I know where to look for things at. And so I look. And like my car was hit at one time, and so I said, well, it's cost this to get it fixed. Everybody's got to make a living. But I understand, these repair shops, a lot of them are just a ripoff, Because I know how we repair jobs on the line. You didn't have to, if you had a door, you didn't have to do that whole door. You know what I'm saying? We sand that door down, that spot, if it was a flaw in it. We masked it all. It went through the spray booth, and you couldn't even tell that it had even been there. But everybody have to make a living. So I understand that.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I was very pleased, and I hope that I said something that will enlighten you ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hattie. Thank you, Miss Hattie. Mm-hmm.